in the former Buell Institute of Popular Science and Planetarium. We're not in the planetarium part, though. We're where the miniature railroad village used to be.
Right.
So we could tell you if the trains are on time or not. Well, you knew who we're looking for. Who is it?
Well, if I said Jack instead of Robert, would I get partial credit?
You could. Okay. It's not Jack, but Robert Frost. Absolutely. And I don't know if you know the poem we were referring to in the history.
Well, I remember he gave the poem at Kennedy's inauguration.
Yes.
And it was really, really cold that day.
Right.
And I don't know if he ended up getting sick from that or...
Well,
but there was, he wasn't very healthy or something. I that's what I can vaguely remember.
He wrote a poem called Dedication. And that poem was one he wrote just for the inauguration for President Kennedy, or President-elect Kennedy, I guess, at the time. And because it was one of those blustery cold days with bright, bright sunlight, he was unable to deliver the poem because he couldn't see, given the light. So instead, he recited his poem called The Gift outright, which he could do by heart. And that
right.
ended up being the way it went that particular day, which is really an interesting result when you think about it.
Yeah, I just finished reading a book by Carl Bernstein.
Oh, I want to read that. Is this his memoir?
It's basically about his time at the Washington Star. So it goes from, I can't remember exactly, like 1959 to maybe 1967-ish or something. So it doesn't really cover the Watergate at all. But it was interesting, his description of the newsroom of the Washington Star back in the 1960 or so, and how it seemed like you walk in, if you've never been there before, it seemed like total chaos.
Interesting. I really want to read that book. That is supposed to be a fabulous book, and I just, it's on my list after a few others.
It proves you don't need a college education to become a successful...
Nah, not always, yeah. It's amazing. I was just talking to somebody about that yesterday. Tom, I'm going to try to get Shirley on here, too.
Okay.
Good to talk to you, as always. And Shirley, Tom, I didn't mean to rush. I just want to be sure we get Shirley on this hour. Hello. I'm not surprised you know this. You've got a cat. You've got a cat named after
my
him.
My cat is named Robert Frost, right?
Right.
And of course, I'm a longtime Robert Frost fan, and went up to Vermont and New Hampshire, and I visited Frost's place up there, and I sat in his chair at the desk and looked out at the mountains, and I also walked the Frost Trail up there, where as you walked every so often, there would be lines of his poetry and objects related to or plants related to elements in poems that he'd written. And I remember when he recited The Gift outright at Kennedy's inauguration, right? But Robert Frost was quite a person, quite a poet. And when you think about some of his wonderful poems, and that made all the difference.
Yes.
I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere, ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wooden eye. I took the one less traveled by, and that made all the difference.
That's a poem I loved learning when I... probably was in high school or maybe junior high school.
My students learned it when they were sophomores many years ago, and of course, I love his poems like "Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening." He was definitely a genius with handling words and handling poetry. Yeah,
absolutely.
Everything from A Dust to Snow. To stopping by Woods on a snowy evening. And I hope all of the brigadiers will read a Robert Frost poem sometime this week.
It's a good idea. Thank you, Shirley.
Okay.
Take care.
Have a good day.
You too. Robert Frost, our answer, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets Jim and Blackridge's weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, WMCK.FM McKeesport, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, and internet radio stations and streaming services available on any smart speaker or smartphone, including Radio Garden, Simple Radio, TuneIn, and slbradio.org/radio.
Easy Rider, see what you have done. You took my woman, now you're on the. Took my woman, now you're on the. You took my woman, now you're on the run. I wish I was a catfish swimming in the deep blue sea. I would swim across the ocean and bring my baby. Swim across the ocean and bring my baby. Swim across the ocean and bring my baby to me. I'm leaving you, baby, I gotta be moving on. If you don't believe it, count the days. Don't believe it, count the days. You don't believe it, count the days I'm gone. I'm gonna go to Chicago, but baby, I can't take you. There ain't nothing in Chicago for an ugly woman. Nothing in Chicago for an ugly woman. Nothing in Chicago for an ugly woman to do. Easy Rider, see what you have done. Well, you took my woman, now you're on the. Took my woman, now you're on the. You took my woman, now you're on the run. My name is Bob and the truth must now be told. I was kissing pretty women since I was 5 years. Kissing pretty women since I was 5 years. Kissing pretty women since I was 5 years old. Easy Rider, see what you have done. Well, you took my woman, now you're on the. Took my woman, now you're on the. Took my woman, now you're on the run. Easy Rider, see what you have done. Well, you took my woman, now you're on the. Took my woman, now you're on the. Took my woman, now you're on the run. I'm gonna buy me a shotgun as long as I am tall. I'm gonna shoot old Thelma just to watch her. Shoot old Thelma just to watch her. Shoot old Thelma just to watch her fall. Anybody asks you who composed this song, tell him it was me and it didn't take very. Tell him it was me and it didn't take very. Tell him it was me and it didn't take very long. Oh, tell him it was me and it didn't take very long.
The great Bob Gibson at the Saturday Light Brigade. Our crossword puzzle of the air is coming up, giving you a chance to earn a Saturday Light Brigade charge. Nice to have so much participation this morning. If you've never called or text it or play it along. Why not make today a day that you do just that?
The Children's Museum of Pittsburgh and Museum Lab are proud to support the Saturday Light Brigade. Time tickets are available at pittsburghkids.org. The museum is open Thursday to Sunday from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. Museum Lab is open on Saturday and Sunday from noon until 5. The Children's Museum of Pittsburgh and Museum Lab are filled with opportunities to experience kindness, joy, creativity, and curiosity. Capacity is limited, social distancing, and masks are required. More information about health, wellness, and tickets is available at pittsburghkids.org.
Starting February 1st, the museum is open daily. Details at pittsburghkids.org. We're going to talk with Paul Tellers about Henry Hornbostel, the architect, and his impact on Pittsburgh, including all those pretty yellow-bricked buildings on the campus of Carnegie Institute of Technology, now Carnegie Mellon University. First, though, our crossword puzzle of the air. He'll be here in about 15 minutes. Our clue is neighborhood. We're looking for an 8-letter word. And fortunately, somebody has come by and filled in a couple of the spaces for us. The third letter is E. And the sixth letter is N. N. As in neighborhood. The clue is neighborhood. 8 letters in the answer. The third letter is E. And the sixth letter is N. Can you figure out the rest of the letters and fill them in? Call us with your answer at 412-200-5975 or 1-888-752-7234. We'd love to have you join us. Speaking of joining us, Joanne Wheeler and Larry Franklin, good morning to both of you. They knew the answer that we were looking for, Robert Frost. Well done. Larry is in Elwood City. Joanne is up in Oil City. Larry noted that Robert Frost was on a frosty morning, and indeed, I didn't think about that, but believe it or not, that's true. (412) 200-5975. Again, 8 letters. The clue is neighborhood. Third letter E. The sixth letter is N. And we'll reveal more letters if need be coming up. We're featuring some of Paul Auscher's music this morning. Great blues harmonica player who passed away last year due to COVID. An album he released back in 92 was re-released in his memory. And here's another tune from it. This one is one of the many on the album, which is called Rough Stuff, Blues Before Sunrise.
Seemed like everybody cast my troubles down in the deep blue sea. The blues started rolling and they stopped in my front door. Slim drink to the corner, how you my baby treat me, friend. Then I begin to think, babe, my life don't seem the same.
There, you've got Paul Asher and Blues Before Sunrise. And we've got one answer so far to our crossword puzzle of the air. This one's a tough one. Eight letters. The clue is neighborhood. The third letter is E. The sixth letter is N. Would you like another? The second letter is R. The second letter is R. So now you have blank R. E is the third letter. And then blank, blank, and then letter six is an N. And then two more blanks. So letter two is an R, letter three is an E, Six is an N. Eight letters altogether. The clue is neighborhood. Good luck with our crossword puzzle of the air. These require a bit of head scratching, don't they? 412-200-5975. Tommy just came up with the correct answer. Well done. Mike and Mars got it too. Maybe that hint helped a little. We will have the correct answer coming up in just a moment.
Well, if I was a sinner, I'm gonna tell you what I'd do.
Well, what would you do?
Quit all of that sinning and I'd work on a building too.
I'm a working on a building. I'm a working on a building. I'm a working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord.
It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building.
It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord.
Now if I was a gambler, I'm gonna tell you what I'd do.
Well, what would you do?
Quit all of that gambling and I'd work on a building too.
I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building.
I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord. Now, if I was a liar, I'm gonna tell you what I'd do.
Well, what would you do?
Quit all of that lying and I'd work on a building, too.
I'm a working on a building. I'm a working on a building.
I'm a working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building.
It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord. For my Lord.
Now if I was a preacher, I'm gonna tell you what I'd do.
Well, what would you do?
Keep on preaching the word of God, and I would work on the building too.
I'm a working on a building. I'm a working on a building.
I'm a working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building.
It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord.
Missing Person Soup Kitchen Gospel Quartet, now known as Bare Bones, working on a building. We're going to talk about buildings in just a moment. Did you come up with our crossword puzzle of the air answer? Linda just did. We gave you the clue, neighborhood, which is a tricky clue. The answer, precinct. P-R-E-C-I-N-C-T. Precinct. Let me see if anybody else came up with it. Norman, listening in New Hampshire. How nice to have you with us today. Thank you for your email, and well done coming up with Precinct. How nice to have you tuned in. Also, hello to Anthony and Ashley, playing along on Facebook today. think I've managed to acknowledge everybody. It's a pleasure now to welcome Paul Tellers, who is an architect and planner, and who knows the man behind he is the man who follows the yellow brick buildings, Henry Hornbostel's signature yellowish brick, although I don't think he limited himself to that. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And it's nice to meet you. Are you originally from Pittsburgh?
No, I am not. I grew up in Erie, Pennsylvania.
And what brought you here?
Work. I came to work. I was in the Peace Corps as a young man, and after the Peace Corps, looking for the best place to, for a good job and a place to work, I landed in Pittsburgh.
Well, it's nice to meet you. When you were in the Peace Corps, were you an architect at that time?
I had recently graduated. I was a graduate architect. I was not yet licensed. I got licensed, when I came to Pittsburgh, actually.
What a great experience that had to be. You must have had a lot of skills to lend. I know this is not why we're talking, but that had to be a great experience as an architect in the Peace Corps.
Yes.
What did you do?
Oh, I was in Malawi in South Central Africa, and worked for the government of Malawi, and they were building, a new capital had already been established, and I was assigned to do a new four-story office building in the new capital.
Wow.
So it was quite an adventure and, a great experience.
I'll bet. Well, Paul knows a lot about Henry Hornbostel, and he's probably concluded that I went to Carnegie Mellon because those of us who did learn about him, whether we're architects or not, because a lot of his buildings are on what was Carnegie Institute of Technology's campus. But he certainly has many more things to his credit, and Paul is going to be talking about Henry Hornbostel's impact on Pittsburgh during a January 31st virtual storytelling event sponsored by Doors Open Pittsburgh, or made possible as part of its program. Tell us, I'd love to have you whet our appetite about Mr. Hornbostel and some of his work.
Yeah, he's a very interesting guy. And as you said, I was a university architect at Carnegie Mellon, and what brought him to Pittsburgh? He's not a Pittsburgh-born architect. He was born in Brooklyn, and he came to Pittsburgh because he won a design competition that was, Andrew Carnegie, the wealthy industrialist, planned to build technical schools, and the city had provided land adjacent to Schenley Park, and so there was a design competition, and it was the first of many that he won, but to build the Carnegie Technical Schools. And so he met Carnegie and the others and designed the first building in 1904 and did all the buildings through the mid-20s. So and you mentioned the yellow brick. Yes, so all of those older, Beaux-Arts Renaissance Revival buildings that people may be familiar with, the College of Fine Arts, Hammerslag Hall, Baker Hall, all of those were designed by Henry Hornbostel.
Was yellow brick a spec that he was given, or was that something he adopted sort of as a signature look in many of his buildings?
I think, I don't know if there's a, crispy, clear answer to that, but I think it's an economical material. It's made in Catania up the Allegheny River. If you drive on Route 28, you might still see brick yards in Catania.
Yes.
and so it was an economical material, number one, but also one where he could enhance it with a limited amount. Instead of making all stone building, which buildings, which would have been costly. There's a lot of granite, and then there's a lot of terracotta added. So he could make these very impressive buildings that had the look that, you know, that Carnegie and the others may have wanted. And it's a light-colored brick. We think of, other historical revival styles in red brick, like Federalist or Georgian or whatever, but the Beaux-Arts architects, and he had studied architecture at the École des Beaux-Arts in Paris, so he could, the light-colored brick, this is my theory and maybe the theory of other architects or scholars, that the light-colored brick gave, at a quick glance, kind of the, the appearance of stone. He did not want to do dark buildings. He wanted to do, these, I call them Renaissance Revival style buildings in terracotta, granite, and brick.
I'm looking at the poster for Henry Hornbostel's impact on Pittsburgh, presented by Doors Open Pittsburgh on January 31st. And I'm seeing the beautiful ceilings of what I think is Baker Hall at Carnegie Mellon, if memory serves. Some folks might recall the sloped hallways within that building and several other buildings at Carnegie Mellon. Do you know the story as to whether that was part of Andrew Carnegie's vision, or was that a Hornbostel solution to an issue?
That would be, the architect's solution to, and the who was Henry Hornbostel. So it was Hornbostel's solution to a sloped site. So, yeah, the site that was given by the city was, as I said earlier, faced Shenley Park. It did not go to Forbes Avenue. So it was between Shenley Park and a ravine. So it, on one edge, on the west edge, it was Junction Hollow. So that deep ravine between the Carnegie Museums,
right,
and then Carnegie Institute of Technology, they're now Carnegie Mellon. So Junction Hollow still has trains running in it, and it's a valley. But then there was a spur from that valley, so there was another valley on the other side. So it was a slope site, the high point being where the College of Fine Arts is today, and then the low point being where Hammerschlag is today. And that sloped steeply after Hammerschlag down into Junction Hollow. So he was given a slope site. So his solution, his competition-winning solution, was buildings with, a central mall in the same scale that the third president of the United States, Thomas Jefferson, had used to design the University of Virginia. So if we think of the University of Virginia and the rotunda at the high point, Jefferson had done a similar scheme with ranges of buildings on either side of an open mall. So Hornbostel kind of borrowed that idea. I don't think he ever wrote about it, but it's pretty clear he did. And so long buildings with a central corridor and then wings off of each side of the corridor with classrooms and laboratories.
Wow.
So the wings, if you've walked the campus, they kind of step down, but the central corridor then connects those step down wings, and it's sloped at Baker Hall. And so you could have the corridor stepped down, but then they were teaching industrial skills. So imagine in the early 20th century, the heavy equipment, maybe engines or, pulleys and, winches and things that were being used by students to learn technology. And this heavy equipment could be wheeled up and down the slope corridors to the different laboratories.
So function kind of followed form. That's really, that's fascinating. I didn't know that. And his impact here in the area goes beyond the university, right? There's, my memory is there's other notable buildings that he's behind.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, in fact, I think it's remarkable that his skill at winning design competitions. So when, you know, when people wanted to build an important building, let's say the Soldiers Memorial in Oakland or the City County Building downtown, they held design competitions, and they still do, but they were very common in the early 20th century. And he kept winning design competition after design competition. So, yes, he did the Soldiers and Sailors Memorial, which is across from the Cathedral of Learning. He did Rota Shalom Temple, you know, on Fifth Avenue. He did the City County Building downtown. And he did the original, not only the original plan for Carnegie Tech, now Carnegie Mellon, but he did the original plan for the University of Western Pennsylvania, now the University of Pittsburgh.
I didn't know that.
Yes, all of these were design competitions. To me, it's like he won like four or five Super Bowls in a row. I mean, he just kept winning these competitions.
Do you think, certainly he had lots of talent, but did he also have a talent for being, you know, for showmanship, for actually like being able to put sizzle in his presentations, do you think?
Yes, I think definitely. I mean, I often wish I could have met this man because it's pretty well established that he was quite a personality, you know, a bon vivant, you know, he was dressed very in a showy way and was very popular. He was the first dean of the School of Architecture at Carnegie Mellon. Very popular with his students. So you can kind of picture him presenting his work to clients that he would be very, you know, convincing and maybe even, you know, energizing.
Oh, what a fascinating person to think about. I'm guessing he was born in the 80s or 70s. Do you know offhand?
No, well, he was born in 1867, and
okay.
What I find so interesting about that is the same year, 1867, same year that Frank Lloyd Wright was born. So that is the last similarity between these two architects. They went off in very different directions, but they were both born in 1867.
I don't picture Frank Lloyd Wright entering competitions. Maybe he did, I don't know.
Yeah.
But he's kind of my way or the highway, I would think, for his work. Well, Paul, this is all going to be happening on January 31st at 7. And you can take part in it virtually if you go to doorsopenpgh.org. And these are great presentations, and you'll get a chance to hear all the stories that we're talking about right now with somebody who really knows everything there is to know, Paul Tellers, about Henry Hornbostel and his impact on Pittsburgh. Anything else you'd like to share?
Well, maybe I'll note a similarity between Frank Lloyd Wright and Hornbostel. They both lived long lives, and as we know, Frank Lloyd Wright, for one thing, did amazing. He did work in Pittsburgh through his close connection to Edgar Coffin. So that's another story. It's actually I did a virtual storytelling for Doors Open on Frank Lloyd Wright in Pittsburgh. But they both lived long lives and practiced. I had very interesting careers, but maybe I just note that. But I also wanted to say, you mentioned we'll hear the stories on Monday at the Doors Open virtual storytelling. But there, I want to promise people that do tune in, there will be a lot of images, too. There will be a lot to look at. So we'll see the work of Frank Lloyd Wright as well as talk about it.
Well, Paul, I hope you get a great turnout, and please keep in touch. It's a great topic to have him at the focal point, given how many touches he has on the region here. And we appreciate your being here this morning. Thank you.
Well, I've really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Paul Tellers in Doors Open Pittsburgh, January 31st by Zoom. So there will be images as well as audio for you to listen to. Again, that's January 31st, 7 o'clock, and that's this coming Monday, the 31st. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions.
Whet up your axe and whistle up your dog. Whet up your axe and whistle up your dog. We're off to the woods to hunt groundhog.
Groundhog.
Old Joe Digger, Sam and Dave. Old Joe Digger, Sam and Dave went a hog hunting hard as they could stay.
Groundhog.
Here comes Sam with a 10-foot pole. Here comes Sam with a 10-foot pole. Rouse that groundhog out of his hole.
Groundhog.
Well, stand back, boys, and let's be wise. Stand back, boys, and let's be wise. I think I see his beaded eyes.
Groundhog.
Grab him, boys, and pull him out. Grab him, boys, and pull him out. Great God Almighty, a groundhog style.
Groundhog.
I like my groundhog stewed and fried. I like my groundhog stewed and fried. And a little piece of cornbread by the side.
Groundhog.
In the pot and the hides in the churn. The meat's in the hop and the hides in the churn. If that ain't groundhog, I'll be doing
groundhog.
Work, boys, work as hard as you can tear. Work, boys, work as hard as you can tear. The meat'll do to eat and the hide'll do to wear.
Groundhog.
Work, boys, work and scrape his hide. Work, boys, work and scrape his hide. Make the best darn shoestrings ever I try.
Groundhog.
Going down the road and the road mighty muddy. Going down the road and the road mighty muddy. It's a gall down drunk, I can't stand steady.
Groundhog.
Up comes Sal with a snigger and a grin. Up comes Sal with a snigger and a grin. Groundhog grease all over her chin.
Groundhog.
Oh, a snicker and a grin. The Almanac Singers from 1941, led by Pete Seeger. And it seems early for Groundhog Day, but it is coming up Wednesday, February 2nd. And coming up, Amos Levy is going to be with us. We're going to talk about activities taking place at the Lighthouse at the Homewood Brushton YMCA.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from Spatial, providing customizable radio automation software and streaming solutions to radio stations, broadcasters, and businesses around the world since 1999. Additional information is available at spatial.com. That's spacial.com.
Now it's time for our haiku. Are you ready? I'm going to give you a haiku, which is a clue. In this case, we're looking for a person. Are you ready? He had a hit song with I Saw the Light, but not the Hank Williams tune. He had a hit song with I Saw the Light, but not the Hank Williams tune. Do you know who it is that we're looking for? It's a tough one. 412-200-5975. 412-200-5975. He had a hit song with I Saw the Light, but not the Hank Williams tune. Who is it that we're looking for? 412-200-5975 or 1-888-752-7234. Good luck. Beth and April Stevens now, along with Ken Irwin and Ray Deaton.
Just when every ray of hope was gone, I should have known that you would come along. I can't believe I ever doubted you, my old friend the blues. Lovers leave and friends will let you down, but you're the only sure thing.
Thank you. no more at night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Thank the Lord, I saw the love.
Bill Monroe with the other I Saw the Light. And Beth and April Stevens and Company did My Old Friend the Blues. John and Carrick had a guess of Jesse Dixon. Tommy in Virginia got the correct answer. So did Paul in Whitehall. Well done. John and Baden, you got it. Good job. This one's a little hard. Tom and McCandless did get it. And let me see if we've got a few other answers. Nope, that gets us up to date. Here again is this morning's high clue. He had a hit song with I Saw the Light, but not the Hank Williams tune. 412-200-5975. Do you know who it might be? We shall reveal the answer in just a moment, but if you know and would like to share it with us, the answer to that is, this is the time to do it, 412-200-5975. We are live here at the Saturday Light Brigade. I do not see any answers on Facebook. Not Josh Turner. Just guessed by Linda. He had a hit song with I Saw the Light, but not the Hank Williams tune. The person we're looking for is a multi-instrumentalist, singer, songwriter, multimedia artist, sound engineer, and record producer. Philadelphia native who has long been ahead of his time in the music industry, and he had a big hit with this song in 1972. He says he wrote it in 20 minutes. And it surely did become a monster hit for him. If you remember it, it sounded like this. His name, Todd Rundgren. There's the title of the song, and it was the opening track on his 1972 album called Something, Anything. And here is a guilty pleasure, whether you know Todd Rundgren or not, and in fact, it need not be a guilty pleasure. Todd Rundgren's current performances on YouTube are a blast. He is 73. They're a blast for a couple of reasons. First, and you can look up his older performances too, but his new performances, he does hand motions to all of his songs when he sings. So if he was saying, "I saw the light in your eyes," he would point to his eyes as he sings. And light, he might point up to the sun, and he does this with most of his songs. He also does a lot of work with college students as an artist in residence. And to watch Todd Rundgren working with students in their late teens and 20s, sometimes to do new takes on his hit songs, is really fun to watch. We need a bluegrass version of this, right? I could hear it. Bing, bing, ding, 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 ding. Bing, 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 a little banjo in there. There's a movie called A Very Murray Christmas with Bill Murray, where this song is featured. That came out in 2015, and it was a lot of fun. A charge to you, if you knew we were looking for Todd Rundgren, and I think I've mentioned all the correct answers that came in. Now it's a pleasure to visit with Amos this morning, Levy, who is representing the Lighthouse Project. Good morning, how are you?
Good morning, Larry. I'm doing great this morning.
I bet you never thought you'd follow Todd Rundgren, but there he was.
it makes sense for somebody who's a recording engineer and multi-instrumentalist. That's a lot of what we do.
Thank you. There was a little thought behind that, because one thing I love, and we're going to be talking about the Tough Sound Apprenticeship, is you meet people where they are and help them get to where they would like to be. And sometimes that's not exactly evident until you jump in and get started. Can you explain a bit about how it all works?
Yeah, so we have a program that teaches people how to do all the things in a recording studio to make a song. Maybe like you just heard, maybe like a rap song or an R&B song or a pop song, from how do you create the beats in the computer, but then how do you record different instruments, vocalists, and mix it all together so that it sounds like how we like to hear music or how you want to hear the music.
And it takes a lot of skills to do that. Many people think in these days where we talk about digital natives, so to speak, that everybody knows how to use GarageBand or other software. But in reality, you know, you and I are Gutenberg natives. That didn't mean we know how to publish a book or how to be a great writer. You still need mentors to help you along the way. And that's what the Lighthouse Project offers. You've got great equipment, but also some coaches to help people find what it is they're looking to do, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's great that we have all of these music-making tools in our pockets and with our, you know, laptops or the types of computers. And we love to, you know, find youth who are already creating on their own and then teach them how to, you know, take their creations to a new level. How do you go from what you're able to make in GarageBand to something that, you know, feels more exciting than maybe what you can do on your, or what you've been able to teach yourself at home?
Yeah, so here, a great opportunity. And the Audio Arts Club, you can learn beat production, audio engineering, songwriting, DJing, podcasting, rap, and poetry. There's a visual arts club as well. And the Tough Sound Apprenticeship program runs, it's intended for 16 to 22-year-olds to learn about audio engineering, mixing, and production. It's a 10-week program, and we've linked to the registration site. Is it 10 weeks again? I may have spoken too soon.
No, you've got that right. So, yeah, we're going to start up in mid-February with classes. So, yeah, we're currently recruiting. We're looking for a few more young people, as you said, 16 to 22, although our other programs at Lighthouse Studio and at YMCA Lighthouse Project, go to ages 13 and up. And then we also have the Y Creator Space, which does sort of engineering and science and game design stuff, and they're for 8 to 12-year-olds.
Yeah, and this is all at the Y in Homewood Brushton. I've had the good fortune of watching Lighthouse grow from what was at one time a little corner in a back room at Westinghouse High School, which is where the house in Lighthouse in part came from, a little play on words.
Absolutely.
To a beautiful facility, and you've been there for a long time now. Has it been maybe 11 years or so, or am I losing track?
No, that's about right. That I just started working with them initially just as a teacher, and now I'm one of the people who helps run the program as well, and I still do some teaching.
Yeah, and it's really, there's a lot of things you could be doing with your life. I'm glad you chose to do what you are doing. It's not necessarily the easiest thing to do, but you're making a huge difference for kids. And if you go to, let's see, I think the best address is pittsburghymca.org/lighthouse. Is that the easiest way to find more info?
Yeah, that is. Or if you just, plug YMCA Lighthouse into your search engine of choice, you should come up with our website and more information.
Excellent. What are you up to personally? Are you out DJing or performing anywhere?
I'm gonna go back to DJing soon. I've been working on a lot of mixing projects in the studio. We've got some student albums. I've got some other collaborations. We also work with bands out in the community, some great musicians, like currently working on an album with John Banuelos, who's a Spanish classical guitar player. So, yeah, all sorts of good stuff.
Excellent. We'll keep in touch. And here's hoping, again, just Google YMCA Lighthouse to learn more information, and you can join some really talented instructors and sharpen your skills, especially if you are in your mid-teens, early 20s, it's a great program for you. All the details are there. Anything else you'd like to mention?
Oh, just it's great to be able to talk with you, Larry. I remember, if you're going back dozens of years, that I did a DJ workshop with you many years ago. And it's great to be able to reconnect with the Light Brigade.
Yeah, I want to do that again now that our Youth Media Center is finally being close to finished, and we'll have a nice space to do something like that right outside of our current studios. Thanks. Give my best to James Brown. Take care. Thanks. That's Amos Levy, and James Brown is not that James Brown, but JB, who makes sure everything runs smoothly at the YMCA Lighthouse Project. More information at pittsburghymca.org/lighthouse. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP-FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, WMCK.FM McKeesport, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, the Audio Now Network at area code 515-605-9542, and internet radio stations and streaming services, including slbradio.org/radio.
Well, here's one. I hope you like it. I think it's gonna be good. Don't need a menu when you order. Take the blue plate special away. Start with a napkin, a toothpick, some water. Well, then call the waiter and say, a bagel and lox with the cheese in the middle. Bagel and lox, let it toast on the griddle. Bagel and lox with the cheese in the middle and a slice of onion on the side. Bagel and lox with the cheese in the middle. Bagel and lox, let it toast on the griddle. Bagel and lox with the cheese in the middle and a slice of onion on the side. Well, bagels are round, they're not square. Well, 'cause if they're square, they ain't nowhere. And lox is fish, my favorite dish. Hey, Mr. Waiter, hurry up and bring a plate of bagel and lox with the cheese in the middle. Bagel and lox, let it toast on the griddle. Bagel and lox with the cheese in the middle and a slice of onion on the side. Cheese in the middle.
Bagel and lox.
With a little bit of toast on the griddle.
Bagel and lox.
With the cheese in the middle. Slice of onion on the side. A tray of eggs, coffee, and well, they may be okay, but they're not my friend. Well, 'cause when I eat elite. Hold a condition. Delicious bagels and lox with the cheese in the middle. A bagel and lox, let it toast on the griddle. A bagel and lox with the cheese in the middle and a slice of onion on the side. On the side. On the side. A bagel and lox with the cheese in the middle and a slice of onion on the side.
Rob Schneider at the Saturday Light Brigade. Hello to Millie in Oakland. A couple songs coming up for you shortly.
I had a long talk with the block dog all summer. He runs with the
kids. The Sound Hound is coming up in a moment.
Dog, every day the choice is his. They all feed him when he's hungry. They all keep him from the cold. But he don't wear their collar. He makes the neighborhood his home. There'll be a fireplace in the winter. There's lots of houses down this street. Summertime he'll catch your frisbee to beg the best of your dinner meat. Had a long talk with the block dog all summer. He runs with the kids. He's happy as a block dog. Every day the choice is his.
Okay, we'll keep the Sound Hound at bay for just a moment.
Pear Networks joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. Headquartered in Pittsburgh, Pear Networks provides website hosting and domain registration to people from around the world. More information is available at pair.com. That's PAIR.com.